When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be hard. Like early 90s heavy metal hard.
I'm yelling and screaming and I'm loud. Roar!
Geico makes it easy. You can review and update your policy or report a claim on Geico.com or the Geico mobile app. Because shouldn't we all have a little less stress in our lives?
I'm not even upset about anything!
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Great Loop Radio, brought to you by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. We're dedicated to sharing Great Loop information and inspiration with those actively cruising, planning for, or dreaming of a Great Loop adventure. This is Kim Russo. I'm the director of AGLCA. Today we're going to talk with Judy Loving. Judy is one of our members, and she is in the midst of the Great Loop, but she's talking with us today about Lake Superior, which is a body of water she's got a lot of familiarity with. Judy is actually the cruising editor for the Waterway Guide, Great Lakes Guide. She is the cruising editor for the Lake Superior chapter in that guide, so obviously has a lot of in-depth knowledge about the lake. Before we bring in Judy, I'd like to take a moment, as always, to recognize and thank our Admiral sponsors. They are Curtis Stokes & Associates, Dog River Marina, Passage Maker Trawler Fest, Skipper Bob Publications, United Yacht Sales of the Carolinas, and Waterway Guide Media. As always, we encourage all of our listeners to support these businesses that support the Great Loop. And with that out of the way, I'd like to bring in Judy Loving. Judy, thanks so much for joining me today.
Oh, thank you, Kim. It's a pleasure.
Well, it's great having you here because I think Lake Superior is often kind of an overlooked side trip for a lot of loopers, partly probably because it's kind of an enormous side trip if you're planning on doing a full circumnavigation. So let's start off. Tell us why you decided to take on Lake Superior.
My husband is from Minnesota, and he has traveled to Lake Superior several times as a child and family vacations, and he thought it'd be wonderful to see it from the water. And after avoiding listening to the song about the Edmund Fitzgerald, not listening to all the scare, frightening stories about the lake, I agreed that, yeah, let's do it.
So you started the lake originally kind of as a side trip or a detour on your Great Loop, correct?
Correct. We had wintered in Brewerton on the Erie Canal, and we got an early start to the year last year and headed out to Lake Superior. And one of the dangers of Lake Superior is that you may fall in love with it, which we did, and both wanted to just couldn't see only giving it 2 months. We wanted to stay an extra year and visit it more in depth.
Okay. So obviously you found a lot that you liked about Lake Superior. Let's start with some of the higher level details, things like how many miles you've cruised there and the amount of time you've been taking, things like that.
So far we've spent about 1,400 miles of travel in Lake Superior. That's not difficult to do. It is the largest lake in the world by surface area. There are two that are larger by water volume, one in Russia and one in Africa. But it is the largest by surface area. There's a good 2,800 miles of shoreline to be visited and explored. That's when you include all of the shorelines of the various islands. We have, the USA has, two national parks and numerous state parks on the water. And Canada also has their national parks and their provincial parks.
And you mentioned that this is your second season, really, on the lake. How much, kind of talk to us in cruising days-wise or how long the seasons are when you're on Lake Superior, because you're obviously pretty far north.
July and August are the high season. We started out in June this year, and it was cold, but it is always cold on the lake. I think the average temperature of the water is typically 39 degrees.
Wow.
And it doesn't get much warmer than that in the summer. Now you can get down near Duluth or in protected harbors, and it will creep into the 60s as far as the water temperature, but it will always be cold. And when you're on it for several hours up on the flybridge, all open and exposed, you do need strict winter wear. We take hand warmers. We drink soup through the mid-morning. It is cold out there.
Okay. Give us, if you can, kind of a general overview of the type of cruising you would be doing on Lake Superior. You know, you hear of some of the infamous shipwrecks there. Is there a high level of skill required to take on the lake?
You want to make sure that your instruments are all in very good working order. You need to know how to use your radar and be prepared for fog, because there will be fog. There's good weather reporting, and you can avoid most of the storms during those 2 months, although obviously the gales of November sometimes come early. But you don't want to be out in the lake in October and November. But if you stay in July and August, you have good smooth sailing then. So that would be your high season. June is very doable if you remember that it'll just be cold day and night.
Mm-hmm. What kind of a boat are you using for Lake Superior?
We have a Monk 36 trawler. It is a pretty common shape, semi-displacement hull. She's not real big. She's not small. It's a perfect boat for it. If you had a boat that was a little faster, that would be good. If you have a boat that has a little bit more, less draft, we draw 4 feet. That, you know, that always gets you into more places, and you're not as prone to shoaling at the dockside. So that's always a good idea too. Pretty much whatever your loop boat is, it's great. And if you have a sailboat, it is a wonderful place to sail.
That's always good to know, because we do have close to 10% of our members are sailboaters. Actually, a whole lot more than that are former sailors who now have powerboats. But we do have a lot of people out there who are using sailboats for the Great Loop and are always eager to actually get to use the sails where they can. So that's very good to know. Talk to us about anchoring on the lake versus what types of marinas there are to tie up at, and what do you typically do at night?
The beauty of the lake, or much of the beauty of the lake, is the remote and gorgeous places that you can go to. There's spectacular waterfalls on the lake. The scenery is tremendous. And anchoring out, there are many, many opportunities to anchor out. We anchor out more than 50% of the time on Lake Superior. There are good marinas and nice towns all around, so you have that. Well, at least on the southern side and the western side, you have a lot of that. If you prefer anchoring and being someplace that you can only get to by boat, then the eastern shore would be your preferred place, and the northern shore. Of course, there's good anchorages everywhere throughout, depending on what kind of geology and geography you're interested in seeing. You get a lot of the Canadian Shield to the north with lots of caribou, and to the south you get more into the copper mining area and the red sandstone of Bayfield and that peninsula, as well as the Apostle Islands. There are tremendous opportunities for fishing throughout, and I guess that's why we like to anchor, is because then we can take the dinghy and go trolling and catch a 5-pound lake trout.
So, Judy, what kind of anchor do you recommend for the Lake Superior?
You have a lot of sand and a lot of mud, and that's what your boat works best with in sand and mud is what I would suggest. All chain works, have a good windlass. It is a very, very deep lake, and in some places it is deep up to the shore, but there's also plenty of places where you can anchor in less than 30 feet or get in around the 12-foot level. But Lake Superior has one outlet of water leaving, other than evaporation, of course, and that is the St. Mary's River. It has over 200 streams and creeks and rivers flowing into it. And, of course, anytime you have rivers flowing into it, you're going to have plenty of sand or a mud-sand mix. Very little clay, true clay, is there. But you'll get a thicker sand or a mixture of clay and sand in some spots, and then just good hard sand in others.
So as long as you're familiar with anchoring on your own boat and you know what kind of an anchor you would typically use in mud and sand, no special tricks or special difficulties about anchoring in Lake Superior?
I would have spare anchors, and I would, if I used all chain, I'd know that I could bring it up without a windlass if I had to. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good.
But no, you just want to be secure with the wind.
Okay. Perfect. We're going to take a short break right here, and I'm going to play a message from one of our sponsors. When we come back, I'd like to move on to some of what you think are the highlights of the lake, including what there is to see and do and what different ports are available. So we will be back in just one moment.
When staying at the new Fort Myers Beach Marina, enjoy full resort access to the Pink Shell Beach Resort, complete with concierge services, 3 pools, and 2 restaurants. Pink Shell Beach Resort and Marina is located along 1/4 mile of Sugar White Sand Beach. As a marina guest, you will have access to their fitness center, shower facilities at the full-service Aquagene Spa, Audrey's Market, free beach chairs, a daily newspaper, 3 pools, and pool towels. Laundry facilities, a game room, and beach activities are available, and the marina portion of Pink Shell is pet-friendly. For more information, visit www.pinkshell.com or call 855-203-5105. Pink Shell is a proud Commander sponsor of AGLCA.
We're back on Great Loop Radio. This is Kim Russo with America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. My guest today is Judy Loving. Judy is telling us about Lake Superior, and she is the Waterway Guide Great Lakes Edition cruising editor specific for Lake Superior. So she's got a lot of knowledge in this area. Judy, we were just going to get started on talking about some of the ports of call and some of the highlights of the places to go along the shore of Lake Superior. So why don't you tell us about some of your favorites?
Well, I've given a lot of thought to this, and if I had a 2 or 3 week span coming in through Sault Ste. Marie where I would go, and then to be able to continue the loop after using this as a side trip. Mm-hmm. And coming in through Sault Ste. Marie, you make a choice. You either want to go up the Canadian shore, and if you have loved the North Channel and Georgian Bay, then that would be an excellent, you would there are many more of those type of breathtaking experiences of uninhabited islands and anchorages that beckon. Or you could go the southern route along the Michigan shore and pick up more of a history from that perspective. I think that the geology in Lake Superior and the geography is difficult to get away from because its entire history is about transportation of goods and services out of the center of the countries across to the St. Lawrence, and you see that everywhere you go. The mining, of course, as well. So leaving from Whitefish Bay, coming out of Sault Ste. Marie, and leaving from Whitefish Bay and around the point along the southern route, you have Grand Marais as probably your first stop after Whitefish Point. And you can restock in Grand Marais or keep moving along. One of my favorite places between Grand Marais and Marquette is the Pictured Rocks area, where you can get right up close to the shore as you cruise and see the Pictured Rocks. Marquette is an amazing town, great restaurants, good harbor, fascinating people. You could spend a week there with their... They have, of course, farmers markets and all kinds of things going on through the summer. Munising is another good port. And then as you leave Marquette and go up past Big Bay, you have the Keweenaw Peninsula, and that's a pretty fascinating point. It's about 600 miles if you want to go all the way to Bayfield, so that's a 1,200-mile side trip. Depending on your boat and how much you want to travel, Bayfield has the Apostle Islands, and that is a national lakeshore. Great place. We saw bear there from our anchorage. Some people see them if they're at the dock, a little closer to their boat than that. That's always fun. But throughout that area, there's lots of historic places, lots of good places to eat, many places to reprovision. If you want a more remote trip, stock up well in Sault Ste. Marie and head north up the Ontario shore. Once you get Michipicoten Island is a great spot. There's an all-weather harbor there where you can sit for days and wait either for weather or for the fog to lift. It has its own charms. There is no place to stock up on that island. But if you go just north of that particular island, there is a 100-mile stretch along the shore that is a provincial park, the Puckasaw Park. And it's in Canada, and there are no roads that go down to it. There is a not very often hiked trail, and you will be alone there in your anchorages mostly, and you can go for days without seeing a fishing boat or another person. It's about 300 miles from Sault Ste. Marie up to the Slate Islands, and you can visit all along that shore and then get into the more populated area of the Slate Islands and Rossport, where you can reprovision and decide then if you want to turn back. And that's a good 600-mile or a little over 600-mile trek if you want to go that route.
So obviously lots of choices. Good. Yeah, lots of choices of places and towns. Can you tell us what your absolute favorite anchorage is?
Yes, on the east shore, it's called Otter Cove. It's it's just behind Otter Island on the Ontario side.
And what is it about that particular anchorage that you love?
The high cliffs, just the clarity of the water, the good fishing, mm-hmm. the lack of people. Now, sometimes it's hard to get weather reports in some of these anchorages because even the VHF is obscured by the cliffs, and that is something you do want to stay up with the weather very closely, either through NOAA or Environment Canada. You should be prepared to get MAFOR reports, and which is a good, solid weather report by numbers, where you just pick up the numbers if you're not familiar with the MAFOR system. And it comes from NOAA, but it gives you a little more information than the short VHF bursts. If you could have a satellite radio, either through internet connection or some people carry satellite news by Sirius is the provider of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That would help with weather reports, but you live with the weather there.
Mm-hmm. Is there cell service on most of the lake, or do you have the same issue?
There are a lot of places where there is no cell service and no mm-hmm. Internet at all, no Wi-Fi. Isle Royale National Park, there is no cell service and no Wi-Fi there. Apostle Islands, it's sparse. It's just sporadic.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, when you're out in a crossing, depending on where you are and how far you are from shore on passages, you may or may not have cell service. This is a very remote coastline on the Canadian side, and it's a pretty remote coastline on the southern side of the USA side.
Okay. A couple of questions about things to see and do. It sounds like it's probably a great side trip for people who like fishing, first of all. What kinds of fish do you catch in Lake Superior?
Well, there's lake trout, rainbow trout, brook trout, coho salmon, and Chinook salmon. There's also pike, and I'm pretty sure I have not caught one, but I'm pretty sure that there's walleye out there, and you mm-hmm. do have the whitefish in that area. But typically, mm-hmm. you'll catch different types of lake trout.
Okay.
Or salmon.
So definitely a great great side trip for the people who want to fish. Also sounds like there's lots of opportunities to see wildlife, so that's certainly another subset of interest to the Great Loop that might interest people. If we have people who are big foodies who love to visit the different restaurants or who are big shoppers and look for stops with that type of thing, it sounds like this maybe is not the side trip for them because of the remoteness of the area. Would you agree with that, or are there certain towns you can recommend that would have a lot of shops and restaurants?
Marquette is a gorgeous town. I mm-hmm. can't tell you too many good things about the restaurants there, and they're all within walking distance of the marina. And you have lots of shops to look at. Bayfield over on the Bayfield Peninsula on the other side of the Keweenaw Peninsula, lots of shops and good restaurants over there as well. That is the largest cruising area for the lake. Rossport is an art center up in northern Canada, and if you're interested in finding some unusual Lake Superior art, or if you like, there's a potter there that does quite a bit, and they have a lot of music festivals in that area there and in Red Rock, which is just west of Rossport. You have a lot of shopping opportunities there. Of course, the northern shore of Minnesota, which is around Grand Marais and south, there's a lot of shopping and great restaurants all along that shore as well. That's just a little further than a typical loop side trip would take you.
Mm-hmm.
But I would highly recommend it's worth the time. And Grand Marais is also one of our favorite stops.
So then it definitely sounds like it's another opportunity where there's kind of a little something for everyone then, and you have shopping and restaurants and things to see and do that sound like they're fairly convenient to also getting to a very remote spot nearby where you may not see another person, as you said, for a few days, which is something a lot of loopers seek as well. What other, if there are any other hidden gems that you would recommend that maybe we haven't talked about yet?
If you're interested in geology, mm-hmm. it's pretty fascinating area to be in because it's very diverse with the Canadian Shield to the north and the interesting, you know, the Lake Agates and things. You have some commercial traffic, but they stay well on their lines of the routes to the various destinations of Taconite Harbor and picking up ore in Duluth or things in Thunder Bay. So you really don't have a lot of problem on long passages with meeting commercial traffic.
Mm-hmm.
This really wasn't the question you asked. I was thinking of other hazards. You have to watch for, in the smaller islands over by the Apostles, you have to watch very carefully for kayakers. And then fishing nets, while they're nothing like the crab pots along Florida, you do mm-hmm. have a lot of herring fishing going on, and you've got the herring nets that hang, and you just want to avoid, they're marked, and you want to avoid getting tangled in those lines that hold the nets up.
And thank you for bringing up some of the hazards, because that is something I neglected to ask. So are there any others besides the kayaks and the fishing nets that we should be warned of before we head to Lake Superior?
Well, of course, fog. And it is a place where AIS and even more importantly, radar. I can't tell you too much about how important radar is in that area, both for the fishing nets, but also for other vessels out there.
Mm-hmm. That's very good advice. One of the things that we talk about in some of our Great Loop seminars is whether, and it also pops up on our discussion forum, whether or not radar should be, you know, a required, really, or a highly important piece of equipment for doing the Great Loop. And there are plenty of people who do the Great Loop without it, who typically recommend that on a day that appears to be a fog day, you just stay in port, which is good advice. But tell me about on Lake Superior, does the fog tend to roll in unexpectedly, or would you be able to gauge that maybe this is going to be a fog day and you should stay put? Or should you not even attempt it without radar?
We started the loop without radar. Mm-hmm. And at some point, I have sailed for years and years and years, and I've done a couple of ocean crossings and never used radar. On the loop, it became pretty clear that you could not always judge when there was going to be fog in mm-hmm. various places, and that is more true in Lake Superior. The other thing with Lake Superior is it may be a perfect day to cruise except for the fog. And you have to make a decision. You have to balance your risks. Do I want to risk a storm out there and strong winds and high waves that I cannot predict if they will get larger? Or do I want to put up with a little fog? Because a lot of the areas are not that crowded, we chose to move when there was fog. That was something I said I would never do, but I have now done that. Partly is when you're out there, the heat of the summer will send all the shore air out, and of course it condenses and you have a lot of fog. As you get closer, the water gets warmer, and often by the time you enter the harbor, it clears. It will be completely clear. Mm-hmm. And that has happened to us over and over. Now, one time we did approach the breakwater and we could hear people talking and kids playing on the lighthouses before we could see them, and that is disconcerting. But if mm-hmm. you have good equipment and you trust it, it makes it doable.
Right. So it sounds like regardless of where you stand on the radar question about whether it should be mandatory equipment as far as loopers are concerned, even if you fall to the side that it may not be necessary for the Great Loop itself, it probably is something you really ought to consider then for Lake Superior, because that was a great point, that if you have a choice of a fog day or a storm day, a fog day would certainly be much preferable as long as you've got that radar to guide you through. Judy,
yeah,
we're almost out of time.
Okay.
Yeah, if you wait for all other things to clear, you might be there for a long time. We're almost out of time. Any final thoughts or things that you would like to share about Lake Superior?
Well, I don't think you should not do it because of all the stories that you hear, because it is an amazing place, and even if you just go through the lock, and I would suggest the Canadian lock, and go up into Whitefish Bay and anchor overnight in Batchewana Bay, and you'll feel better for having done that. And the Canadian locks, actually going through the locks at Sault Ste. Marie, there is no cost, and you're only rising about 40 feet to the lake level, and you'll feel better for having seen all the beautiful things on the way to the Sault and experiencing the twin cities of Sault Ste. Marie, both the Ontario side with its great history and the U.S. side with its history. And there's just been so many wonderful changes and ever since man first appeared there at that area. It's a very rich historic spot, and there's great museums, good restaurants on both sides of the Sault as well. So that's what I would say is take whatever side trip you can into it and enjoy it.
Judy Loving, thank you so much for joining us. For our listeners, if you're interested in more information about Lake Superior, if you're a member of AGLCA, Judy is also, so you can find her in the members directory. You can also hear more from Judy about Lake Superior in the Waterway Guide Great Lakes edition, where she is the Lake Superior Cruising Editor. And that, of course, is available at waterwayguide.com. Judy, once again, thank you for joining us and sharing all those details about Lake Superior. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
For our listeners, thank you for joining us. We will be back next week with another edition of Great Loop Radio.
Thank you, Kim.
Thank you.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can seem intense. Like breakup R&B intense.
I thought you said you loved the sweater that I got you. If you didn't, you could have told me.
Geico makes it easy. Just go to Geico.com anytime to update or check your policy without all the extra drama.
I even had a gift receipt.